Let's go. Let's get started. Let's get up off the couch. Let's get outside. Let's make some wonderful crap happen. There's so much to be excited about. There's so much to discuss. We've wrapped our brains, we've tried to, around how big the problem is, and it's action. That's the solution. The solution is action. You gotta get up, you gotta get going. You can be grumpy, you can be angry. I was quite upset. Past couple weeks, I get so pissed off, Gimlet. I get so angry. And the thing to do is to do something. Do something positive. Make a difference. And we are at that spot. And here's the thing that I keep trying to wrap my brain around too. Like, it's only gonna get worse, you guys. So we gotta come up with solutions and actions and things we can do, because between now and the election, holy crap, I think it's gonna get even more bizarre. I think it's gonna get even more bizarre. Remember last week, Gypsy, when I was saying that, like, I was tired of that, you know, is 2020 already over? Can we restart? Those kind of memes. That's why I'm saying that, because it's only going to get worse, you guys. We got to buckle up. We got to be tougher, and it's got to be like stiff upper lip, chin up, slap that smile on your face, happy warrior, because it's only going to get worse. And if it doesn't get worse, look, we're already ready. So, we got a big show for you. Gimlet has some amazing research into Joe Biden. We'll start there. We'll start there. Might as well. We'll get into the fun of Roger Stone being pardoned. We'll get into the fun of that later. But let's start with Joe Biden for president, and what a genuinely horrible thing that would be if Biden becomes president. It ain't good.
If Biden becomes president and Democrats take the Senate, what you have to understand is they're going to eliminate the filibuster. So with a majority in both houses, they will just pass the entire Biden agenda.
That's your doomsday scenario. And I don't mean yours.
It's like 2009 and 10 on steroids.
It would go south fast. So many things could happen.
Here's the first policy that's going to go, and he doesn't even have to pass a law to do this. It's a HUD regulation called the HFFA, which is, under the Obama administration, used HUD grants to try to leverage suburban communities to eliminate zoning for single-family housing.
Okay, so what does that mean? What does that mean to a stupid guy like me?
What it means is you could no longer buy attractive land and say, I'm only building single-family homes here. So what most suburbs will do is they will zone areas within their borders, right?
Yeah.
Within my town, where this area is for single-family housing, this area is for commerce, you know, that sort of thing. Right?
Right, right.
And then there's zones for multifamily housing. Basically, everything would become eligible for multifamily housing. Most communities could look at the Obama administration and kind of give them the middle finger and, like, we don't want your HUD grant, because it didn't. Most suburban communities can function without them.
Yeah.
However, Biden's version ties in highway funds. So most communities can't do without those.
Yeah.
So they would eliminate single family housing zoning. You'd be required to build certain amounts of low income housing. It's basically what it does. There was a move, I don't know, I think it was during the late 80s, for cities to kind of annex the suburbs that were in their MSA.
I love how you say that like you have any notion that I would know what the F that is.
I was going to explain it.
So wait a minute. Why? Here's what I want to know. This is like a personality quirk. Like, why would you even, like, instead of using the abbreviation, just say it. Just say it. Like,
Metropolitan Statistical Area?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's like
the suburbs close to them.
There you go. There you go. Now we're down to my Neanderthal level. That's what I need.
So they would take the suburbs close to them and start, like, finding ways to make the tax dollars flow into the city where they needed it in poor communities, et cetera, et cetera. This would actually create this policy would actually create a structure to do that. So we'd be redistributing our tax dollars all over the place. And basically what they're doing is they're taking a disparity based on their own determination of what a diverse community should look like, right?
Yeah.
And they're taking the disparity in that and trying to turn it into discrimination, when oftentimes it's explained a lot of other ways.
Okay. Here's what you need to do. You need to take that information and you need to make that, you need to get some emotion in there, and you need to get a, you need to look for like a knee jerk kind of a, I'm going to call it sexy, like reaction. Like, cause that's with that moving that money around and we're going to change the way they do zoning and all that stuff. That's awesome. But I think the average person, they're not going to have a like an emotional knee jerk reaction to that. So here's what I'm going to do.
How about this? If you vote for Joe Biden, you can kiss your equity goodbye.
There you go. There you go. If you want to jack up your hometown, let's do what Joe Biden wants. I'm going to tell you something right now. Living in Los Angeles, living in the Valley, if you will, you will have a hard time finding a more jacked up. This is the reason LA is so screwy, because this goes back to Chinatown, that movie Chinatown with Jack Nicholson. They wanted to sell real estate fast in the Valley. So they gobbled up all the farms and you were allowed to build whatever. You could have a bunch of homes like a suburb, and then you could put up a little mini strip mall, and then you could have an apartment building right next to a house. Like, the zoning is all jacked up. So in most places like Chicago, New York, Atlanta, big cities, you've got everyone tries to get downtown in the morning to go to work. And then in the evening, they try to get back home. So you can do mass transit because it's all going one direction in the morning and then it's going the other way at night. That's not Los Angeles. If you want to create a public transportation nightmare and a freeway nightmare, you just open up the zoning for anything. So if you have a house next to an apartment building, next to another house, next to a strip mall, next to an office building, next to another house, it's like every day in Los Angeles, it's like somebody kicked over an anthill and everybody's trying to get everywhere. And it's a flipping nightmare. So if you want your town to have traffic and problems like LA does, and there is no solution that the government can offer. There's to fix LA, you'd need a dictatorship. You really would. I've thought about this quite a bit. Biden, listen, the guy's a nightmare on every level. Just on every level. And the zoning thing is bad.
The additional thing this would do, right? So it's an electoral move as well. Because if you look at concentrated urban areas like New York City, Atlanta, you'll have congressional districts where a Dem will win by 30%.
Right? Yeah.
So that 30%, beyond the 1% you needed to win, that 29% are wasted votes. So what they're actually trying to do is push their voters out into the suburbs. So where we have a well-distributed vote where we win and we'll win like 52 to 48 or whatever, we don't have a lot of wasted votes in the GOP. Democrats have a ton. So they're trying to push their voters out to the suburbs so that they can win more congressional districts.
Do you know that this is what Eric Holder has been doing since the end of the Obama administration? That's like been his full-time job. Mm-hmm. His full-time job is running around the country and trying to find a way to redraw the districts and redraw the maps and da-da-da-da-da. They ain't playing. I said it on this show. I said it on this show. And once again, sometimes it hurts being right. Obama said he said this a long time ago while he was president, and it was made everything crystal clear. Whoever gets the most votes gets to do whatever they want. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but I think that's what he said almost exactly.
Elections have consequences.
Whoever gets the most votes gets to do what they want. And that is, I remember Andrew Apple going, well, actually, you know, he got all upset about it. But it's what it's all about. It's why we want to know who's coming into the country. It's, listen.
Why we want to know you are a citizen when you vote.
Yeah, so. Biden, I could see, like, the rezone and taxes are going to go back up. He's already said that. Hey, I'm going to get rid of the Trump tax cuts. We're going to
triple the corporate tax rate is what the Unity platform says now. He's changed some of his policies that were on his website because he and Bernie had a come to Jesus.
Yes.
Out of that come to Jesus came amnesty for any illegal living in the country, no more deportations, bail reform nationwide, no cash bail nationwide. You're turning the country into New York City is what you're doing.
And
it's every bad idea Bill de Blasio has had is now in Biden's platform.
And I think that's what we have to do. That's the message. That's the action. Well, it's what I'm doing. I'm taking, here's my narrative. Like, Biden's America is jacked up. How do I know? I can see it. Biden's America is Seattle. Biden's mm-hmm. America is Chicago, is Baltimore, is New York. But that is the message, I think, to people. Like, if you every city in America will look like this. If you give, you put the Democrats in charge, bad things happen.
To negotiate with terrorists.
Minneapolis.
They did it in Minneapolis. They did it in Seattle. My mayor did it here. Like, an 8-year-old little girl is dead because Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms didn't have the nads to clear a Wendy's parking lot that was private property. They were negotiating with those people.
Yeah. It is.
And her mother was in the car with someone else. They see the barricades. They're like, oh, shit. They go into a parking lot to turn around. Those guys came over the barricades and shot into the car, shot out their tires, and killed a beautiful eight-year-old little girl.
It's so hard not to go, like, over the edge, bitter, jaded, and just make fun of the whole Black Lives Matter thing. But even I would hope that the people listening to the show, like, we all agree. Okay, yeah, Black Lives Matter. And to that
lower
extent.
Lowercase letters. Yeah, lowercase letters.
Like, listen.
I agree with the sentiment.
Yeah, but the organization.
Who doesn't?
Yes, the organization is just a Marxist, and they have one thing. And that's just to get rid of the police and turn us into a more Marxist, socialist-looking society. And
They're actually Malcolm X.
Really?
If you look at what Malcolm X used to talk about, which was black separatism, right?
Well, isn't that before his great epiphany towards the end of his life?
Basically, he and Martin Luther King took very different views of the civil rights moment, the civil rights era, and how to approach it. And we are legitimately having the same argument now that the country was that we had in 1964.
Right.
And
but
Martin Luther King's way needs to win again, or things are going to get really, really ugly.
But even Malcolm X was hip to the fact that, like, it's the Democrats, man. The Democrats.
He didn't like either party. He didn't like either party.
Yeah.
He didn't think either party could represent the black community very well.
Well, this is something that, like, I think it's not good for a tweet, and it's not good for Facebook, but it's something that you can hopefully talk about in a forum like this. But it's like, you really have to ask yourself to my black friends out there, like, literally ask yourself this question. What's going on in Chicago? What's going on in Baltimore? What's going on with, you know, black on black crime? Like, who, if you're a black man, who's going to kill you? What are the odds? Are the odds you're going to get killed by a white cop, or are the odds that you're going to be killed by someone else from your own community whose skin looks like yours? And to me, if Black Lives Matter was really an honorable group of people with honorable intentions, why wouldn't they do something in Baltimore? It's like, it's so just such a shockingly like bald-faced lie to go out there, oh, we're going to stop this and we're going to stop that. And yeah, I got buddies who were driving around in the wrong neighborhood or whatever, and they would get pulled over and they would get hassled. And that's wrong. And that needs to be addressed. And that's why I'm all for body cams, yada, yada, yada. But if you're talking about saving the lives of people of color, how can you ignore the number one problem? It's like being on the Titanic and you've just hit an iceberg, and Black Lives Matter is like, we got to change the oil filter on the ship. And you're like, wait a minute, no, we got to patch this giant hole. We got to get to the lifeboats. We got to tell other people about the iceberg. We got to stop sailing through here. No. We got to change the oil filter. Without the oil filter, and it's ridiculous. It's not ridiculous
because the movement, I mean, if you understand how the movement is funded, right? They go through a group called Thousand Currents. Currents is the president of that, because Black Lives Matter itself is not a not-for-profit. So they have to borrow not-for-profit status from another group to be able to take donations. And I don't even know why we allow this under the law. But we do, and it happens a lot on the left. Thousand Currents, their head person is a woman named Susan Rosenberg, who was part of the terrorist group May 19, which was similar to Weather Underground, who went around killing police officers and bombing stuff.
Yeah.
And robbing banks. She is a, like, all of these organizations, you want to talk about anti-racism and racism? All of these organizations are run by white people. Well, so when you give money to Black Lives Matter, you donate it through Act Blue. Act Blue cuts the check to Thousand Currents. Thousand Currents takes their cut, and it's substantial. It was a couple million dollars last year.
Yeah.
And then gives the rest to Black Lives Matter, which they spend on travel and consultants and give very little to local communities. This is not about... They're using a racial premise to push Marxist ideas. It's really just that simple.
Well, that's really nicely put, and I agree with that 110%. And this is, like, I've always said this, and I've said it before on the show, we need better lawyers on the right. We need better lawyers, because this is the thing that, and I'll give credit where credit is due, the left is just so good at navigating the legal landscape. They go, oh, it's illegal if we call it an alpha bagooby gooby. So what we're going to do is we're going to call it alpha bagooby gobby. Technically, it's different and we can't go to jail. And it's like just navigating these little technicalities and just, it's the same. Well, I don't want to go there yet, but it's like Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. Ah, I did nothing illegal. I did nothing illegal according to the letter of the law, when, like, morally it's wrong. So I'll give it up to the organizers and the Act Blue people, and there's some evil, freaking sinister legal eagle geniuses on the other side. And that's great. So all we have is like this giant sledgehammer of truth. And it's going to be, it's just a matter of spreading the word that, like, this is not an organization that wants to actually help the black community. This is an organization that wants to fundamentally change America.
And they're open about it. Just go read their website.
Yeah. So that's,
like, if you don't believe me, let's pull it up together and read.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't create this website.
Yeah, let's do it. Take it right from their website. Do it right now. We'll go to break, and then we'll come back with more wonderfulness. Some stuff to be excited about. But I want to hear, read it from the website. Do it up.
Not to be a backseat driver, but can you say for sure you got the best monthly payment possible on your auto loan? Could it be that you might have gotten a better deal by shopping the loan at a few places and have a lower car payment? Next time, before you go car shopping, visit Communication Federal Credit Union first. Our auto loan experts will find you a perfect loan and get you the lowest monthly payment we can. Communication Federal, your auto loan experts. Restrictions apply. Federally insured by NCUA.
Today, this breakfast isn't just breakfast. It might be the first McDonald's breakfast you're having at McDonald's again. This lunch might be a weekly tradition you hadn't had in weeks. And this dinner might be the first one you bought for not just you in a while. Whatever this order is for you, McDonald's will be here to take it.
Get more of the chicken you love with a delicious McChicken sandwich for $1. And for an extra buck, add a refreshing Dr. Pepper. Dining rooms are starting to reopen in certain communities at participating McDonald's. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
As promised, this is welcome back, everybody. Just like we said, we're gonna open up this segment of the show. This is a quote from the BLM website. Gypsy, what do we got?
This is from their What We Believe page, and there's a big old introduction about the organization and what spurred its creation, which is a flat out freaking lie.
Okay.
They were another organization, and they morphed into this after Trayvon Martin died.
Sure.
sorry. It says, when you go to their What We Believe page, the Black Lives Matter global network is as powerful as it is because of our membership, our partners, our supporters, our staff, and you. Our continued commitment to liberation for all Black people means that we are continuing the work of our ancestors and fighting for our collective freedom because it is our duty. So notice, all Black people, this is a global movement. It's not an American movement. It's all
yes.
Black people.
Okay? Global. Global.
Global. Because that's the difference between fascism and communism, right? It's the difference between Marxism is a global thing. Fascism is a national thing. That was a really bad explanation. every day, we recommit to healing ourselves and each other and to co-creating alongside comrades, allies, and a family culture where each person feels seen, heard, and supported. We acknowledge, respect, and celebrate differences and commonalities. This is just isn't even good English, but whatever.
Yeah.
We work vigorously for freedom and justice for Black people and by extension all people, which they deny when you say all lives matter. So we intentionally build and nurture a beloved community that is bonded together through a beautiful struggle that is restorative and not depleting. So that's where you get your struggle sessions from.
But this all seems wonderful and beautiful right now. Where's the scary?
We are unapologetically Black in our positioning and affirming that Black lives matter. We need not qualify our position. To love and desire freedom and justice for ourselves is a prerequisite for wanting the same for others. This is a Black separatist and Black superiority movement. Did you hear that in there?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's in there. We see ourselves as part of the global Black family, not as Americans. And we are aware of the different ways we are impacted or privileged as Black people who exist in different parts of the world. We are guided by the fact that all Black lives matter, except they're not, regardless of actual or perceived sexual identity, gender expression, economic status, ability, disability, religious beliefs or disbeliefs, immigration status, or location. We make space for transgender brothers and sisters to participate and lead. Do you know what approval for transgender lifestyle is in the Black community?
Well, listen, we're getting mixed up here. Then, like literally, I'm not being silly here, but like so far, I haven't heard anything scary. If I were
There's,
to,
oh,
like,
the next one.
hit me with some scary stuff.
We are self-reflected and do the work to dismantle cisgender privilege and uplift black trans folk, especially black trans women who continue to be disproportionately impacted by trans antagonistic violence. So they're dismantling cisgender. We build a space that affirms black women and is free from sexism, misogyny, and environments in which men are centered. So reduces the status of men within the movement. We practice empathy. We engage comrades, not members, comrades with the intent to learn about and connect with their contexts. That doesn't even mean anything. But that,
Yeah.
again, goes back to struggle sections. We make our spaces family friendly and enable parents to fully participate with their children. We dismantle the patriarchal practice that requires mother to work double shifts so they can mother in private, even as they participate in public justice work. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. Notice it says nothing about fathers.
Yeah. Well, now we're getting a little, now it's getting a little scary. Now
We
it's getting, now
foster
we're in.
a queer affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking, or rather, the belief that all in the world are heterosexual unless he or she disclose otherwise.
Well, here's what I'm going to say, 'cause right now, listen, if I'm writing this, if I work for this organization and I've got to write this what we believe thing, that's what I would write. I mean, listen, they know their audience. They know their this is how you get young college age people. Like you read that, you read that. If you're a young idealistic college age kid, you're like, yeah. I mean, all of that sounds wonderful. All of that, listen, that's how you appeal to
All you
people.
gotta do is look at Mao's revolution.
Well, they won't, that's just it. They won't look at that. They're not going to connect those dots.
Look at what happened with Ukrainian children under Stalin. They became national heroes for turning in their parents.
Yeah, and that's where, I mean, we can stomp our feet about this and all this other stuff, but that's and people who listen to the show, you already know this. It's like we're going down a path. When you start, hey comrades, hey, we're all comrades, and it takes a village, and we're gonna dismantle the Western notion of a nuclear family, and we're gonna redesign this, and we're gonna redo that, and blah 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 blah. You're going down a path. There is no gold at the end of that path. That
Oh, it
there is
ends in
no,
tyranny.
yes, it always
People
goes
die.
badly. It always goes badly. And whoever is pushing this, whoever is pushing a socialist, a Marxist, a communist, any one of these ideas, they're either stupid, ignorant, or just it's pure
Brainwashed.
evil. Yes. And I'll say it, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You guys, it looks good on paper. What you just read, Gimlet, that like if I'm young and idealistic, you know, yes, it looks great on paper. Socialism, it looks wonder. Oh, we'll all share and it'll be wonderful. That it never factors in greed. It never
Never
factors.
factors in human nature.
Yes, and greed is part of that. And the wonderful thing about being on the right is like we harness greed for good. Greedy people are like, I want more, I want more. I should invent something everyone's gonna wanna buy. And so they get greedy and our quality of life goes up. That's the big difference. And when you start going down this comrade takes a village, global movement, inequality, and we're all gonna have equal outcomes, you always wind up with neighbor turning on neighbor because they think that someone has more than them. And then when I'm in charge, I'm going to get rid of those people because that's where the problem is. And if you look at the way they're already vilifying huge swaths of the community, like us, you know, if you're on the right, if you're conservative, if you have the audacity to say you voted for Trump, you're evil, you're Nazi, you're a racist, you're horrible. And it's not, you don't have to go far down the path to say, you know what, maybe it would just be easier for our utopia if those people weren't on the planet anymore. And that's not hyperbole. That kind of thing happens.
A white woman with a 3-year-old son actually got shot in Indiana over this conversation yesterday.
It's scary, and it's getting scarier. And for those people who, oh, this could never happen, those are the same people who say, oh, they'll never attack a statue of George Washington. Yeah, it's just the Confederate statues now. Oh, it's just Robert E. Lee now. They'll never go after Thomas Jefferson. They'll never go after, and here we are. And here we are. So it's a cautionary tale. So we have to amplify the message of there is danger. This is a very dangerous place that we're in. And equality is great. And we all start out equal here. Now, if you want to talk about school districts and funding for roads and blah, 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 we can do that. And we can figure out where is your money being wasted. Why? If you're living in a crappy neighborhood and your school system is crap, let's figure out why that is and let's solve it. But this whole dismantling the police because, oh, the police are just roving gangs of racists who kill people of color at every chance they get. There's a lot of danger. And Joe Biden, I can't say it enough. Joe Biden's America is a scary, scary place.
Well, and it ends up having things like this in it. The city of Seattle held a training session for white employees called Interrupting Internalized Racial Superiority and Whiteness.
What?
The city of Seattle required only their white employees to come to a training called Interrupting Internalized Racial Superiority and Whiteness. Do you want to hear some things that are indicative that you have internalized your racial superiority?
Before you do that, I just want to frame this in the right way, because I don't want people going, wow, when did the Loftus Party turn into white power? It's like, if you take the word from this thing that they did in Seattle, where they're like, if you're white, you have to take this course. If you put any other word in there, if you're a Jew, you have to take this course. If you are Asian, you have to take this course. If you are black, it's like, it sounds horrifying. It sounds horrifying. And this is the wonderful paradox of white privilege and systemic racism, that if it's impossible to be the victim if you're white. So that's how, well, that's
maybe
how
it's
they,
society,
they
but legally this violates the Civil Rights Act in 1964,
right,
in Title VII. Somebody needs to sue.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Supreme Court has already ruled on this.
Yeah.
Repeatedly, in reference to white people. Yes, it applies to us too.
Yeah.
Unreal.
So what were they telling? So if you're white and you work for the city of Seattle, you had to take this course. And what kind of wonderful things were they telling people?
Well, you know that you have internalized racial superiority if you have some ideas about perfectionism. So to make things good. Individualism. So if you believe in the individual.
Yeah.
Imposition, arrogance, paternalism, silence, meaning you just may not comment on something. Intellectualization, so actually thinking about things and discussing ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, this is so insulting to minorities. Seriously.
Here's the comedy skit. The comedy skit is you go there and the person leading the thing says, if you are, you know, if you're worried about perfectionism, this could apply to you. And then the person stands up and like, that was a horribly phrased sentence. There's a much better way to do that. I'm not going to sit here and listen to this.
Oh, my God.
See, and then
objectivity. Objectivity is racial superiority.
It's horrible and it's horrifying. And there's a big part of me that just like, and I did that video, What I Love About Chaz, like Seattle, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's have a little experiment. I've always said this. Like, this is what I wanted to do with the terrorists as well. Give them a zone. Give the fundamentalist Islamics, give them a zone in the Middle East and go, you guys just run it. No one's going to bug you. No one's going to bug you.
They literally have a flow chart.
Well, you have to. You have to.
The trainers ask white employees to let go of comfort, guaranteed physical safety, control over the land, social status, and relationships with some other white people.
Let's give them Seattle.
Can I just tell you, I used to work in human resources for a living.
Yeah.
And I knew everything was going to hell in 2018 when Apple's black vice president of diversity and inclusion had to resign because she said that you could have 12 white guys with blonde hair and blue eyes in a room and they all come from different backgrounds and diversity of thought is just as important as other kinds of diversity. She'd worked for Apple for 20 years and had to resign because she said something that was completely true. And anybody who worked in human resources knows that. Because you're building teams based on personality characteristics and work styles and a whole bunch of other stuff that actually matters.
Yes.
So I knew everything was going to hell then, and then I saw this. And I could tell you, if I was still in the profession and somebody said, we're going to do this training in our organization, I'd quit. There's no way I'd do this. This leads to such a terrible place. They are literally... So not only are they attacking our governmental institutions, right, our educational institutions, you know, our history, now they're literally ripping the fabric of corporate America. Because how do you work together? How do you work together if this kind of shit's going on?
Well, those businesses will ultimately fail. And that's where it all starts to fall apart very quickly.
Very quickly.
Unfortunately, it's not falling apart fast enough for me, and that's why I want to say, hey, everybody, and listen, make a Shangri-La. If you're into Black Lives Matter and you're into like re-education things like this, head to Seattle. Go to Seattle. That's yours. That is yours, you guys. You want to live in a society without the police, and you want to have social workers come out and solve these problems. Awesome. Head to Seattle, and then we can just have cameras and we can just broadcast it to the rest of America. And listen, if you stumble across Shangri-La, well, wow, I'm going to be impressed. However, every piece of me and every piece of history it's going to be a giant version of Chaz, and there's going to be a lot of death really quick. But let's see.
What I think we need to do, though.
Legalize gambling. No, what?
No. I think, like, because nobody's doing it, really. I think we need to go into these cities where there have been riots in the daylight, of course. And then take pictures of what they actually look like now.
Yeah.
Take pictures in and around where the Chaz used to be in Seattle. Take pictures down around Atlanta and up in Buckhead where they destroyed a bunch of stuff. Go down to Rodeo Drive, which was closing at 1 o'clock in the afternoon because it was so bad in LA. Go to New York City and take pictures of the places that were looted and burned, and go to Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And I don't want to take pictures of the protesters because I don't even want to acknowledge you people exist. I think you're worthless. Sorry.
Go to the Loftus Party Facebook page, and I put up this awesome meme the other day. It's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar. I made a few changes to the place. I wanted to feel more like home. And then the picture below that is a picture of Minneapolis in the daytime after the riots, and it looks like freaking war-torn Somalia. And there's like if you give these people power, and it's a very popular message if you don't know any better. If you don't know any better, and unfortunately that's where I think there's a lot of voters out there who don't.
College-educated women in the suburbs, I want to go smack them all in the head.
Well, that's why the drumbeat has to be,
I'm going to start your town mailbox.
Your town will look like Chicago. Your town will look like Seattle. Your town will. Why do they think it's confined? Why do they think it's confined to these other cities? Like, I'm sure in Seattle, back in the 80s, they were like, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be great. Seattle in the 90s, ooh, it's getting better. There's more equality, and look at that, and people are free and open, and this is going to be awesome. And then Seattle in the 2000s, like, okay, there's a few Antifa people, but they're just fighting fascists. They're just fighting the Nazis. And then in 2016, yeah, they're just setting a few buildings on fire, but they're fighting the fascists. They're fighting the Nazis. And now, yeah, they've just taken over a few city blocks, and a couple people got killed, and somebody got raped. And
but then they came to the mayor's house and they had to go.
Yep. And that's what the suburban independent voters, they are the mayor. That's who you're talking to. And it'll come to their front door. And we're just the canaries in the coal mine. It'll come to your front door. Joe Biden's America is jacked up.
Because it's not going to stop if he gets elected, because that's how they leverage him. How do you think they got him to move so far left on this new unity platform?
Trump nailed it when he said Joe Biden is just a puppet of the radical left. That's it. You guys, Joe Biden doesn't have these ideas. He doesn't have these ideas. He's been in public service for 50 years, since like 72.
He has a record. We can see what his record actually was.
Right, but his bread and butter as a politician is appease the people who are going to reelect him, appease the people that are going to help him. That's it. What do you want to do? Oh, I want to take a bunch of knives and throw them at this midget. Okay, well, if you'll vote for me, I guess knives throwing at a midget will be fine. And then listen, I'm trying to find jokes here in comedy, but it's because it's a terrifying notion. We got to take a little break, and we got to talk about Roger Stone. We got to talk about the awesome move that Trump just made. Stick around.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5000. Enjoy.
We're back, and I thought we could start this segment with my impression of Rashida Tlaib, who I always call Rashida Tlaib. Here's a tweet she had a little while ago. 4 days ago, probably five when this gets aired, my sister Ilhan Omar said it best. We must begin with dismantling the whole system of oppression wherever we find it. Pass it on. That was a terrifying tweet. The whole system of oppression wherever we find it. That's like, you know who would have said that? Somebody from the church during when they were looking for witches. We must root out witchcraft wherever we find it. Okay, so enough of that.
And the other thing that the other question they never answer.
Yes.
What system specifically, as compared to what?
Right, right. It's like trying to dig a hole in the ocean. They're just going to keep digging wherever they find it. I got to pass some good news along. The whole Roger Stone thing. And this is why I like to wait. And maybe it's just a failing on my part because I'm not good at the hot take. I need to be better at the hot take. My brain needs to work faster. When Trump pardoned Roger Stone, and a lot of people are like, ooh, you know, and this is old school politics. And I have to constantly remind myself, Trump's not a politician. He does things his way. He got good results in 2016. I've been very happy with him as a president. I wanted to get elected again. So the old school political analysts are like, boy, Trump really messed up. He should have stuck to the Mount Rushmore thing. Because when Mount Rushmore, he gave a great speech and they called it horrible. He should have stuck with that and blah, 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 blah. Instead, he moves on to NASCAR and now he's pardoned Roger Stone. Pardoning Roger Stone was the best move. He had to do sooner rather than later. By doing it now, there's a couple of good things that happen. Number one, he's saying in a very full-throated voice, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed at all. That guy's not going to jail. Just like Flynn isn't going to jail, just how Flynn got railroaded and it was, you know, misleading statements. Yeah, misleading statements to the FBI. That's the whole thing with Roger Stone. And this is what the left was doing.
No. It was to Congress, too.
Oh, right.
So, like, no. All I'm saying is Adam Schiff lied to America, has been lying to America for like 3 years straight. And he'll see no consequences. But because Roger Stone lied to Adam Schiff, he's supposed to go to jail.
Right.
Whatever.
Right. It's like, hey, we're gonna accuse you of this crime. Then your behavior after you are accused becomes the real crime. Right? Yeah. So... Yeah. But they put up a big body count, and you have these people on the left going, well, why are 12 of Trump associates going to jail, blah, blah, blah. It's like process crime. It's for behavior after you were accused of a crime that you didn't commit. That was the FBI. That was the Mueller probe. That was all in. So good for Trump for pardoning Roger Stone and doing it now and doing it fast. And the other huge advantage it gives him. And by, like, don't wait till after the election, because now, during the debates, when Biden brings this up, when Biden is dumb enough to bring up, you pardoned your buddy Roger Stone, that is the opening for Trump to go right into the whole Mueller probe, FBI, the nature of the crime, and I'm using that air quotes on crime there, and it's just a huge... It's just the easiest pivot ever. So I think it was a wonderful move.
Well, I don't think they're going to debate, though.
They have to.
I really, really, really think they're not going to. I think Biden's going to back out. How can Biden go on a stage with Trump for 3 hours? He can't.
Oh, no. Listen, Trump will mop the floor with him. Trump will mop the floor with him. However,
but I'm saying there's no way his handlers can let that happen.
But then this is why this is so funny. It's so funny. But this is why, you know, for the past couple of weeks, support new media. We need our narrative. And our narrative is Biden's America is a horrible place where the innocent people are killed and your neighborhood goes to crap. And our narrative, if Biden makes this the epic stupid move of saying I'm not going to debate Trump, it's because he's afraid and he knows.
Did you see that stupid New York Times op-ed?
Oh my god, which one? They're all horrible.
It's literally laying the groundwork, giving Biden a platform to say he won't debate. So what this guy says is, unless Trump releases his tax returns and there's fact checkers on the stage, and the last 10 minutes is devoted to fact checking by the fact checkers of what was said in the debate, Biden shouldn't debate.
Well, that's someone trying to throw Biden a lifeline. And that's what the media does. They run cover for Democrats. But now Trump can go, hey, that's not me, pal. That's the Supreme Court. That's the Supreme Court. You got a problem with me? Talk to the Supreme Court. I've released this and that and this, and you want to talk about taxes? How are you a multi multimillionaire on the salary of a U.S. senator. How did you get rich? And then it's a wonderful pivot. It's a wonderful pivot. And how
you've
did
never
Trump
signed
get rich?
In front of a paycheck, son. You've only signed the back.
Right? These people have never done anything. And that's
no.
The other one I just can't. Like, why would you? You wouldn't do it in your house. If your pipes were leaking, you call a plumber. You don't call somebody who pushes paper at the DMV. And go, hey, how do I fix these pipes? Well, I tell you, if I raise your taxes, I can afford to have a study, a pipe study, blah, 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 blah. The federal government, big government, is horrible. And they are at their worst when they move fast. And they're doing it now. All these people trying to lay, COVID at Trump's feet. That's my Achilles heel right now. That's my Achilles heel. When I'm scrolling through Facebook and I'm promoting the Loftus Party and blah, 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 and I will see these friends of mine, people I know who are just, they're blaming Trump for the coronavirus and his response, and like, he's been wrong. Trump's been wrong at every turn. What? What? Hey, I remember Fauci being in charge. I remember Dr. Birx being in charge. I remember Trump trying to close down the country. And Bill de Blasio's like, hey, go to a concert, go to a restaurant, ride the subway. That's what I remember. I remember Donald Trump going, hey, we should do this hydroxychloroquine. And they all, no, 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 no. And now every study comes back and they're like, wow, hydroxychloroquine cuts the death rate in half. And they're still pushing remdesivir. They're still pushing that horrible expensive product. That's criminal. And we were talking about this before the show, Gimlet, and I kind of want to get back to it. And de Blasio, and it's just these horrible policies. And we have to be proactive, because the narrative and being right is more important than human life. And this is where I would appeal to everybody. Like, I don't care where you're from. If I'm bleeding to death and you have a bandage and you offer me a bandage, thank you very much. I appreciate the help. I don't care where you're from. And on the left, it's like, okay, we're bleeding to death. And Trump is like, I have a bandage. And they go, screw you and your racist bandage, you fascist Nazi. They would. The media and the left have no problem with people dying. They knew about hydroxychloroquine. Fauci knew about hydroxychloroquine. They know the nature of this virus. They know they could have been doing hydroxychloroquine this whole time. But demonizing Trump and demonizing a cheap and effective medication was more important. And now they can go, how did Trump let all these people die? How? Oh, Trump stood idly by and he wouldn't wear a mask while 100,000 Americans, like, you're sick. That is sick. And with Cuomo, Cuomo's planning on writing a book. He's floating the balloon about him writing a book about, here's how great I did in handling my city when the crisis hit. And that guy, I can't say this in harsh enough terms, but what an absolute piece of human garbage.
Well, like how the Cuomo Commission found that Cuomo did nothing wrong.
Isn't that perfect?
Well, you know what pisses me off is this is not a mystery. All these people in these nursing homes that died of COVID were tested for COVID, right?
Yeah.
For the most part. You know you can do a genetic analysis on that and figure out who got who sick.
I did not know that. That's some Star Trek.
Yeah, that's what they did over in Iceland to try to figure out whether the adult was getting the child sick or the child was getting the adult sick.
So
there's actually genetic analysis you can do to figure out who got who sick.
Well, here's what I know. When you say to me on TV, and every doctor says, boy, if you're old, if you're above this age range, you really got to stay away from people, because this thing will kill you dead. Everybody knew that. Everybody knew that. And then Cuomo's like, whoa, we got a COVID patient here. Put them in the nursing home. Put them in a nursing home.
He had the temporary hospital in the Javits Center, and he had a boat.
Yes.
that he never used.
And now we get to de Blasio and how just twisted that guy's mind is. Never forget that as Cuomo and de Blasio are on TV every day, and I'm in New York and I watched it every day. We need help. We're getting overwhelmed. We need help. Blah, blah, blah. And then Samaritan's Purse comes in. They open up a field hospital in Central Park. Blah, 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 blah. And people are bitching and moaning because it's a religious organization. Okay, whatever. Don't care. All right, do you need a bandage or not? Do you need help or not? Here they are. De Blasio told Samaritan's Purse, hey, all your medical personnel who worked here, they need to pay New York tax. They need to pay, they need to give us the tax revenue. That, to me, is disgusting. That's the absolute, that's one of the lowest forms of humanity. They came to help you. You said you needed help, and you're like, okay, well, you owe me. You owe me money for helping. That's gross, man. And then what he's doing to the New York cops right now? Listen, they gotta recall that guy, and to watch the media fawn and cover over these two disgusting human beings, it really infuriates me. When you have crime and shootings and stabbings at these levels that we haven't seen since the 80s, and there's no signs of it letting up, and you're still cutting the police budget in New York by such huge numbers. I think it's a billion. I don't know, but it's a huge number. People are stabbed and shot. And your answer to that is to paint Black Lives Matter on the street in front of Trump Tower. Trump isn't running New York, you dumb son of a bitch. That's you.
Oh, but not only that, Trump.
What?
Trump is a racist. He's the worst one I've ever seen.
Well, I totally agree with you there. And all the stats back you up, and all his policies back it up, and everything he's ever done with the exception of the Central Park Five. But that's Listen, that was all of New York. That was all of New York.
That's why
you can't do these rush to judgment things. That's why you have to presume everybody is, you know, innocent until proven guilty. Listen,
but they weren't innocent per se. They were innocent of part of something.
Right. But you had it was an angry mob. And every time you're part of an angry mob, take a deep breath and put down the pitchfork and go and ask yourself that question. OK.
But I mean, the other thing that confused me about that is last I checked, the president has changed his residency to Florida.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going back to New York. I mean, Trump Tower will still be there, but I think his primary residence is going to be down in Florida.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, like, he doesn't go back to New York now. He goes to Florida.
Like any smart, rich person in New York, you have your residence in Florida. You look at your calendar and you tell your personal secretary, you go, make sure I'm in Florida more than I'm in New York, so that can be my primary residence. It's going to save you an absolute fortune. And I'm sure the people who live in Manhattan are happy that Trump doesn't come to New York, because it's a traffic nightmare. I've been in Manhattan on the day before Trump comes in, and they just take all these garbage trucks, these huge giant garbage trucks, and they just start blocking off streets. They start blocking off streets for security reasons. It's a nightmare. But yeah, de Blasio's the worst. De Blasio's horrible. Cops.
Well, he's an anti-Semitic communist.
He's horrible. And it's like, you can't legislate your way out of this. I mean, like, cops trying to retire is up like 400%. Yes. So now they're going to try to make it illegal. They're telling people, don't even apply. Don't even apply. You can't even apply. You're not allowed to apply. Like, how is that going to hold up? How is that going to hold up? I signed on. I have a contract with the city. If I do so many years, I get out with X amount of dollars. That's just all there is to it. And then This is the perfect transition. When you have crime going like this, when you have crime going, is anybody shocked that everybody wants a gun? Is anybody shocked that we're setting all-time records for background checks and gun sales? Now, here's where it gets dicey. You had that couple in St. Louis who had restored that home and sunk a bunch of money into that. It's a private community. There's a gate. There's signs, no trespassing, private property. Protesters came through the gate, broke it down, started protesting. Dude had an AK, An AR-15. Wifey Von Wife had a little pistola. The attorney general in Missouri, whoever in St. Louis, somehow they got a judge to agree to them for a search warrant. And they went back to that house. And now that poor guy and his wife, you know, they've been the subject of ongoing protests day in, day out. And then the state and the city shows up with a search warrant. And they're like, we want your guns. And I think, of course, I wouldn't have the balls to say no. Right? I wouldn't. Seriously, if that's me, I'm like, okay, you got a search warrant. Come on in. That's legal. Okay, here's the rifle. And they take the guns. Now we're into super dangerous territory. When the government is coming around collecting firearms so you then cannot defend yourself.
I'm wondering if Missouri has a red flag law.
I don't even know what a red flag law is.
That's the thing that where your family or law enforcement can say, we're concerned about this person having a gun because they may be a threat to themselves or someone else.
You
have to go to court to get your guns back and prove that you're not a danger to yourself or others. So it's complete upended back-assward due process nightmare.
Those are terrifying. Those really scary.
Oh, if you elect Joe Biden, they'll have them nationwide.
They really will.
But he's going to put Beta O'Rourke, Beta, in charge of gun policy. And he said, we're going to come take them.
And evidently they will. And people will give them up. It'll be some rancher in Montana who'll be like, you're not taking mine. And then they'll portray him as the villain. So
we're all lost in a terrible boating accident.
It's a horrible position that we're in. And hopefully you guys are smart. You get it. It's become abundantly clear to you that the press is running cover and has always run cover for the Democrats. It's hard for them not to. You're a liberal. You went to a liberal college. You want to be a journalist. You go in and
nice parties.
Yes. So you want to fit in. So you almost exclusively print the stories and run with the stories that attack conservatives and make the liberals look good. So we have reached a point now where that is the vast majority of it. And they're trying to shut down the independent voices, the voices on the right. And that is why we always say, you know, thanks for listening and thanks for leaving reviews and thanks for telling people about this show. Because it is going to be, there's a vacuum. There is a vacuum on the right. And you guys, we're smarter than this. The average American is smarter than this. And as we can get people to ask these questions, like how can such a horrible thing happen? Like Cuomo putting COVID patients in with the elderly when he knew. That's a horrifying story. And no one wants to lose their parents or their grandparents. People connect to that. So by supporting shows like this and theloftistparty.com and any other outlet you can think of. And if you think of, like, I'm a big fan of Tim Pool. I'm a big fan of flipping Ben Shapiro and the guys at the Daily Wire and Prager University and, you know, people over at The Blaze.
John Solomon's really good, too.
Yeah, we need to amplify these voices. So if you know of a good one that we're missing out on and that we should be paying attention to, go to theloftistparty.com, leave a comment, and we'll dig into it and try to help them out. My buddy Chad Prather says he's running for governor of Texas in 22. He says he's really doing it. I don't know who he's running against, but right now I'm going to try to help my buddy out as much as I can.
Mary Abbott.
It's counterintuitive. It's counterintuitive to like the conservative mindset. Most of us are like entrepreneurs, and I'm going to self-promote, make my thing. And we have the enemy of my enemy is my friend. It's the most important thing right now is to make sure that Trump gets elected in 2020. And instead of pointing fingers at other conservatives and other pieces of media and, Ann Coulter got that wrong. Well, guess what? Ann Coulter's going to be on the TV show. And she's going to be a voice. And hopefully she'll convert. So what I'm saying is we have to support people all the way around. The Hodge twins. Everybody who's standing up and shouting from the rooftops and making a good point. We need to support that. That's the most important thing. So breaking through that algorithm, that's why I always ask, hey, go to iTunes and leave a review, and more importantly, leave a comment, say something. I know it's a giant hassle. And I want to thank everybody for their support, the Facebook page and the YouTube channel. Things are going well, and we're trying to be smart. We're trying not to get, shut down. So, sorry if it's not angry enough. You cannot win if you're not in the fight. You guys have a great week. Tell your friends, and I will see you at theloftusparty.com.